I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Another episode of the Gold Diggers podcast. This is our women's football episode. Listen, we said we were going to be on it more. We're going to be consistent. So that's our motto for this 2024 year. I'm your host today, Moya at Moya's Laboratory. And I'm joined by two fantastic panellists today. We're going to start with Tiwa, who was itching to speak just then.
It's Tiwa at Tiwa underscore Lestrange.
And Lauren at Lauren Quays.
Lovely stuff. And as usual, make sure to follow the Gold Diggers podcast on Twitter at Gold Diggers UK and on Instagram at Gold Diggers UK underscore. And it's called X. Lauren was just about to say.
No, I was actually going to say. We got LinkedIn as well, guys. Oh,
yeah. Listen, LinkedIn as well.
All platforms.
Like, we're not messing about right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, as I said, we're going to be more consistent this 2024. We're going to try and come up with episodes more frequently on the women's football episodes. And listen, we've had a good week. Well, some of us have had a good week in women's football land. So we might as well start with this week's fixtures. Well, last weekend's fixtures. And we'll start with Arsenal. So Arsenal played Everton. Scoreline was 2-1. Arsenal scored first. Everton equalised. And then Beth Mead scored what ended up being the winner to make it 2-1. Tiwa, our resident Arsenal fan. Thoughts on the win, first of all?
Put it this way, the win was, in terms of like the win, it was good. Mm-hmm. Like, especially on the back of, like, in the league anyway.
Yeah, some drop points.
From, like, end of last year. So it's like, mm-hmm. You just want to start on the win anyway.
Yeah.
If we get into the actual kind of performance, I think control-wise, and if I had, like, fear of, like, losing, I didn't. Mm-hmm. The thing was, like, is this going to be a thing of we play well, we control the game, and then you kind of throw it away by because it's a consistent thing of our clinical being clinical and finishing is just a bit, not even a bit, it's just, it's not where it's not it needs there. To be. It's not, especially if, like, if you want a chance to win the league, you can't, a better team,
yeah,
a City, Chelsea, even whether or not the form of, like, what you say of Man United, they can hit you. They're a better team. They're a better team than Everton. I'm not being cheeky. I am being fair. So it's like, it's one of those ones where there's enough chances for Russo, there's enough chances for all mm-hmm. these people to be getting goals, and either they've missed it, or to, you could be like nice and say the keeper did a good save, but realistically speaking, you should score it. Mm-hmm. And then there's the added, I don't want to use the word pressure, but it is a little bit of pressure of Miedema not scoring yet. Mm. And obviously she's playing deeper.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of like, it's a bit unfair to compare her to Mead.
To Beth, yeah.
Because, like, the mentality of how they are is that Beth comes back and she just doesn't care. So mm-hmm. she'll just kind of try anything until it happens and it goes. Whereas Miedema is more in her head about it. And yeah. plus she had an extra injury. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, more in her head. It's just one of those things where you kind of just need to get one.
Yeah.
Or two.
Yeah.
More like two. Mm. Just to kind of get it a bit more.
To make it just, like, not a fluke, yeah.
You know, just to kind of get her in the rhythm. Because mm-hmm. her passing and stuff is always, when she first came back, the kind of incisive kind of actual ball playing, whatever, it's calm. It's just, the shots are a bit tamer. Yeah. She's not taking them. It's that kind of thing happening.
So she's still doing the stuff that you like outside of
yeah,
the scoring
stuff. Yeah, but I just kind
stuff.
Of need.
Like, all-round game is still good.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, Russo's still not like getting as much goals as she should, especially with the chances that she gets. Mina's getting more and more goals, so that's like cool.
Mm-hmm.
Ford gets it here and there, but it's like we kind of need them all in the
collectively
situation. Yeah.
Lauren, obviously you're not an Arsenal fan, far from it in fact, but
I love how you said you glossed over that loss, really, like that loss for Christmas. That was our first North London derby win. Let me just say that there.
If anyone was forgetting, the loss that she's referring to is the North London derby. Yeah, I don't blame you for trying to forget it, because I do. But Lauren, what are your thoughts on what Tua's saying there about like Miedemar probably just thinking about it more so and it not being instinctive yet, where you wouldn't really expect it to be because she's just come back from a long injury?
Yeah, I think like we can't, like everyone returns to play from a serious injury like that at the end of the day at different time scales, different levels of confidence. Unfortunately, we have so many ACL injuries that there are a lot of players who are going through the same thing. I think what would help me the most is if she just played as the nine. That's my personal opinion is like even pre ACL, I just think she's better as a nine. I think she may have a preference to play as a 10, but I think if you put her closer to the goal, she's just more likely to score. And I think because Russo plays ahead of her, but Russo also drops deep sometimes, they're in each other's space. But I think like you can't question like Miedemar and her ability and what she does. She's a world class striker, and I think the more she plays, the more confidence, the fitter she'll feel, and the goals will come. But yeah, I just think maybe if it is a case of I just want to score, play her up top.
Yeah.
And then see if that works out.
But do you think that feeling about I want to score is coming from fans and not from her?
Like,
Do you think she's probably fine with not scoring as long as the team wins and she contributes in the all-round game?
But then I think, you're a striker that has how much records?
Yeah.
I look at you and think you should want to score. Yeah. I do think the pressure comes from the outside because naturally, Miedemar going through that the injury process kind of at the same time. They've basically come back at the same time. Everyone's making that comparison, which you can't do, but people are doing. It's unfair, but that's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So I think there is an expectation from outside, but also I feel like she's a professional. Like there's an expectation, you know, I think on her to be a winner and to be back at the top of her game. It wasn't that long ago we were discussing, will she go to Barcelona? Because that was her ambition at the time was that she wants to play at the top level. So I think just naturally, you know, she is a striker by heritage. I think she'll want to score. But I also think her demeanour is just quite calm as it is. So I don't think you ever see it on the football pitch, but I can imagine like she's watching the tapes thinking, how could I have done that better? Or, whatever.
I think her personality, it's a Lele personality that if you're a person who, because she's a striker, like you said, that because you, there's a perception of strikers that ever certainly, that if not the personality, it's very obvious that they're hungry for the goal.
Yeah.
Whereas Miedemar, she probably is hungry for the goal. She's a striker, she's got all the records, but you can't tell.
Yeah.
Just by looking at you, just can't. Yeah. Even when she scores, her celebrations are very muted.
Yeah.
So you can never really tell where it is she goes. And I think it's that plus she suffers, I put in quotation mark, the fact that she's really good. And because of that, if you've got other attackers who can also fill in the nine role and probably it can do the nine role better than like out wide or whatever, they're thinking, Miedemar is still very good at 10. If I want to keep her in the team, I can just put her back.
Yeah.
As opposed to putting her up top. It's like, if you try to swap, like if you're going to like, for example, swap around her and Russo, put Russo in 10, it's like, she's not as good at that as Miedemar, but it's like, is it better for her or the team to just put Miedemar, who is like the better player, in the best position and maybe either put Russo out wide or put her on the bench or do what we're doing now and just kind of hope it eventually just kind of clicks in.
I was going to talk to you actually about the lineup that Arsenal have done now for both this game and for the Watford game. And it's had Ford, it's had Mead, it's had Russo, and it's had Miedemar in at the same time. Now, one would see that and think, okay, it's a lot of attackers on the pitch. If anything as well, the four attackers have all had experience playing in the nine. Because at points when there were injuries, all of them have pretty much played the nine as well. How do you think that works for the balance of the team in general? And do you think it's a sustainable way to play against the tougher teams as well?
What I would actually like to see is Miedema with Blackstenius. Because I would like to somebody that's actually going to stretch the player and likes running the channels, because I can't remember who it was against, but when Arsenal went down to 10 and it was near enough Blackstenius' debut, and Miedema played that that's ball in behind because she made I was just pretending I didn't know. but she like she stretches the play, whereas I think Russo is just some, because she drops deep, I just think there's a lot of crowdedness. Beth Mead cuts inside, Caitlin Ford cuts inside. So I think when I watch them play, you literally think, you guys, someone needs to hug the width and somebody needs to force the defenders to think about someone. Because if you've got Russo who's dropped deep, Miedema who's in that pocket, it's quite easy as a defender because you think, oh, well, they're both in the same space. But I also think watching that Arsenal front four, I know that Miedema is clinical, but at the moment she's getting her confidence back. Out of those front four, only Mead, I would say, like is a clinical like one in two.
Efficient shooter.
Like I look at Ford and I look at Russo, they're one in five. So it does just mean that you have to take more shots. You have to provide them with more chances for them to hit the back of the net.
And do you think they've got an out and out chance creator within that team, to ensure that they get enough chances, that front three?
I would pick one and play Pullova or Marnum or someone personally in the 10.
I think out and out, as in like there's one, not really, but then you've got people who can
you've
do
got
it.
People
like
Pullova
like has been like being one of our better players and she's been great. And then, like I said, we've still got Marnum, we've got Marnum who can like feed people in. Obviously, Rati can do it. So it's like there are people there who can chance create. When you said, do you want like Blackstenius, did you mean like in a two or just her and where Russo is?
I think it's really hard to play 4-2-3-1 with two almost number nines. I feel like Spurs are trying to do that at the moment with Martha Thomas
and
Beth England. But one of those people needs to be able to stretch the line. If not, it's just overcrowded. So if I just think it's the profile of the players, it can work as long as you've got two players who are trying to do two different things at the same time. Whereas Blackstenius, I just note that the way she plays, she's going, all right, I'm going into the channel, I'm making the run in behind. Whereas I don't think Russo does that as much.
I think like you mentioned earlier, because realistically speaking, if we just kind of, like you said, Mead is the one that we can pretty much say is clinical because she's the only one at the moment really kind of feeling that vibe. If we had Russo who was more of a one in two, then it'd be a case of, okay, that it would be more like a brilliant weapon just to have Blackstenius off the bench and then be like, because then Russo would have maybe scored a goal, Mead would have scored a goal, then you'd be like, swap it around, change up the tactics. You just got Blackstenius doing what she's great at, running in behind, which generally you generally always notice when it happens. She's come on and like immediate, like it was Watford obviously, but the immediate change that happened when she came on,
and I think it's the reason
obvious.
She gets so many chances in a game. Like, she may not be clinical,
but she'll get there.
But she's doing it
consistently and she'll keep doing it. So, but balance-wise, back to the question, I think for the most part, I think the team works if you just keep it consistent. And eventually, like we said, the confidence of Miedema grows. Hopefully, Russo kind of gets to get more and more. And like the chances that she does get, more of them go in than not. Then I think for the most part, the balance works. And then, obviously, Willison, Leah's coming back. She won't probably be starting, realistically speaking, I don't think. I never have any kind of like...
And she had so much in the build-up play, to be fair. So that will help.
Just getting more kind of peak bodies in would be good.
Okay. So we seem pretty much fixed on Arsenal and you lot won, so I'm not going to do too much on you lot. So we might as well move on. So Super Sunday. Super Sunday. Stamford Bridge. I was at the game.
How'd you feel?
Have you calmed down yet?
Do you know what is it? I went on a podcast yesterday. And I intentionally did that podcast so I could let off some steam. So that today I could be in host mode and like kind of...
She wanted decorum. Decorum for the...
Yeah, I think I'm doing another podcast tomorrow. So by the time I do that third one, I'm going to be so
analytical.
I'm so zen, man. I was at the game. And I was saying to someone yesterday as well, that I've watched United Women live a lot of times. And I've only ever seen them lose twice. And both times I've been to Chelsea. FA Cup final and then yesterday. Flipping off. Zen. Okay, cool. Chelsea won. 3-1. But we have to talk about the game. We have to talk about the game itself. First 20 minutes. Well, in fact, first 4 minutes. Let's start first 4 minutes, Some boos for Lauren James. We already knew how that one was going to end. Mm. I think we all heard the boos, and our first thought was what?
Continue to boo.
Like, I think if there's one player, yeah, that I'm not trying. In fact, if there's two players in general, I'm not trying to rile up in the game, it's Lauren James and it's Sam Kerr.
Yeah, those yeah two, it's true. Yeah, like, they shouldn't have bothered.
Those two, you need bother. Them to get yeah. rattled. You cannot try you're and rattle them. Yeah. It's not going
to
work.
You're not going to win the psyche that's battle with them. Do you yeah. get what I mean? The only thing you're doing is egging them on to dunk on you. And that's exactly what happens. A few minutes in, Lauren James scores, goes in front of the United fans. Hey.
I love that though. I love that.
You know what it is, yeah, with Lauren James? They can never make me hate her. I'll be real, yeah. They can never make me hate her because she's just so good.
She's too good, man. All you have is respect.
When I saw the hair out,
I said
she's come for the pictures.
The hair looked good. I was like, we should be the hairdresser.
Literally. She looked war ready. She looked war ready from the beginning, yeah. First 5 minutes, she scores. And I think I tweeted around that time, yeah, I was like, bro, like, less than 10 minutes has passed. We've made like 6 last ditch tackles. I feel sick. I feel sick. Like, there's a certain way to play Chelsea, yeah? And it's not what United did. Is not what United did. We have to talk about the second goal as we're talking about Lauren James. second goal, ball over the top.
The problem is, yeah. If I'm like Millie Turner or Maya Letizia, how many times do you have to watch the tape back to understand that you guys concede that goal to Chelsea every single game?
Yeah. But in that case, yeah, in the case of the second goal, yeah, it didn't actually come from those two. The ball in behind came from Hannah Blundell's side. Like, the ball, yeah.
The whole back line. The back line is pretty much the same every single time.
The rotations, not in terms of, like, player for player. The rotations in the back line, yeah, like, moving across, are so bad. Like, we were talking in the chat at the time, and we were like, fam, there's bare space in behind.
As every single game.
Oh, and gosh. I was saying to someone yesterday, I said, we're regular folks. And we can see there's mad space in behind. And we can see that every time we play Chelsea, yeah, there's always mad space in behind it because they score the same goal against
it. Literally every time it's the same goal.
Never happened.
No, to the point where I feel like Chelsea in training must be like, let's practice the long ball ping.
Because it's going to happen.
Because they know that you're going to give up at least one goal each game doing that.
I want to ask you about Chelsea in general before we get onto United, yeah? Chelsea, they're missing a lot of players. They're missing a key player in Sam Kerr, yeah? How do you think they've adjusted, or they adjusted in this game specifically, as compared to the game they had against West Ham in the Cup?
I think Emma rang some of the changes.
Yeah.
But I also just think they just look less rusty. They just turn up. Mm. I think it was just the intensity from the start of the game was a lot better. I think it's hard after the winter break because it is a long time. Mm. Like, especially Chelsea, because they were playing high-intensity football, doing Champions League as well. So to go from, like, every 3 games, big match, big match, big match, to then go
nothing
so long,
for a few weeks, yeah.
I think they just looked rusty. But I don't know. I just think I think the big thing about Sam Kerr is I think we will notice in the games against Arsenal and City the loss of her. But I think yesterday that was a Chelsea team that said, this is our house.
Mm.
These are our 3 points. You never beat us. Mm. And that's how they started.
Not too much.
I'm sorry, but they started like, yeah, like, we're here to take our 3 points. And I think that just set the tone, and they near enough won the game in the first half.
Listen, we touched on it with Lauren James. Yeah, I want to ask you about Lauren James's position yesterday, because in the West Ham game, she basically played as the 9. Yesterday, I don't know when this is coming out. So Sunday's game, she played the free role. She played the free role in the Sunday game, and it meant that she was picking up the ball anywhere and everywhere.
Perfect.
It meant that she could also make the late runs in. She could make the runs in from behind, but she could also be the one that was supplying the person making the run. How do you think that role suited her?
I think that role just in general kind of suits Lauren anyway, because I think we know how brilliant a footballer that she is.
Mm.
I feel like, not saying it's a hindrance or anything when she has an actual like nine with her is like a bad thing. But I feel like letting her kind of within reason do what she wants.
Yeah.
It's both terrifying for the opponent and just brilliant for her and herself and how she kind of plays. Let's her kind of express herself a bit more, figure out what she wants to do. There's no kind of the pressure isn't on her to kind of fit a certain mold.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, all right, cool. Let me do what I want. Let me show you the levels at which I am now and what's something you can just kind of taste what's gonna happen later.
So excited. I feel sick, man. Lauren, what are your thoughts on Lauren James's position?
Do you know the bit that really killed me when I saw her coming to get the ball off Buchanan? Like, it wasn't just the free roll she was playing across the front line. She was literally being like, oh, I'll be the six, and then we come get the ball. I was thinking, wow, because I feel like there's zero debate. Lauren James is a world-class player. Yeah. And if you provide her with the environment, she will thrive. And that's what we all need to do as a collective, because she's the keys to the kingdom. But I look and think, sorry, the only way that you could stop Lauren is if she gets frustrated in the game. Somebody needed to be man marking, because how could she go anywhere, anywhere she liked on that pitch in that first half? Like, when she went into the nine, okay, cool, she kind of stayed in her position a little bit more. But even that, she was kind of drifting out. I just feel like to prepare against Chelsea, especially when you know that Sam Kerr isn't playing, you put somebody on her.
Yeah.
You tell Hayley Ladd or whoever it is, follow the girl around the pitch.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way that you're going to stop somebody like her. If she has the free roll and she's feeling herself, which she was yesterday, you just look and think United should have done better to manage that.
Yeah.
But equally, I'm kind of like, I'm glad they didn't, because when you see somebody turn up on that occasion and absolutely just show you a performance where you're just like, wow, like, look how good she is. Which she's done time and time again, to be fair.
Yeah.
But equally, you know, if you're a United fan, I think you have to be angry that your team just didn't adjust to the change of player.
Yeah, no, I'd completely agree with you. I think I like the role she played in the United game, and I like it when she plays that role for England as well. And I think it's mainly because when she's played as the nine, the low nine, I think it stifles a lot of her good traits, in the sense that one of the things I think she's really good at is how she like manipulates the ball, her work on the ball, the body feints, the fact that she's able to go past, like, she wins a lot of her duels.
Yeah, the chop backs,
not by speed, but she wins a lot of it by just pure
technique.
And I feel like when you're playing as the nine, especially when she's not the type of, she's not like a Stina, for example, she's not gonna make those, she's not gonna keep on just making runs in behind. I feel like when she plays as the nine, she's essentially waiting for the ball to come to feet. Mm. And by then, the centre-backs are set. And it also doesn't give her enough space to actually manoeuvre. Mm. But yeah, Sunday's game, I agree that someone should have been, in the same way that Katie McCabe was stifling Lauren James in the Arsenal game, I feel like someone should have been on her. But then I thought to myself, who do I trust in that United side to win their duels? No, because that is what it actually comes down to.
Yeah, because
the reason why McCabe was the one that did it, because she is the type of person that even if she'd lost the draw, all right, cool, then I'm fouling you, and we're both not going anywhere. Do you know what I mean?
It's true.
We don't have someone with the street smarts to do that, and then we don't have someone with the physical prowess to deal with the draws that she's gonna like initiate. So I do think personnel wise, I don't think we had that person to stop her, but I think then, if we didn't have the individual, which we didn't, we should have done something as a collective to stifle her. And that's what we didn't do. Boy, we might as well move on to United now since we segued. United. Lineup thoughts, first of all. Nikita Paris didn't start. Nikita Paris was on the bench. I don't know if you guys have watched a lot of United in recent weeks, but was that a surprising... was that a surprising choice for you?
Yeah, I feel like even if you're like not watching United in a lot of detail, the app will tell you that Nikita Paris goal.
Yeah.
So for her not to start where she has been probably the most effective forward player over recent weeks, you think, And I was looking at the lineup thinking, okay, so you've got no
Mallard, because obviously she was injured, carrying the knock. Yeah,
that was a big loss.
So then I was looking, thinking, where's the physical presence, yeah, like in that back line, or sorry, in the front line to take on Chelsea's back line? I was thinking, And then I saw, Jace playing through the middle, not her best position. Yeah, I think she should have been playing out wide. So then it was just kind of like, has Mark's gonna got the lineup wrong? But do you know what? Even seeing the lineup and thinking, there was no excuse for the way that United played in that fast half. Regardless, because you have to work hard. At the end of the day, like every 50-50, it was lost. Yep. Getting to no second balls, no nothing. So I think the intensity of the press wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Like all of those things, it doesn't matter which 11 basics you put on the pitch. That's just that the fundamentals, the basics of what you would expect a top team to be able to do.
I was going to ask as well. Obviously, before the game, Mark Skinner was giving it the big end, talking about, we're going to close the gap. You lot are talking about 7 points. Trust me, by tomorrow,
I'm so tired of him.
Not going to be no 7 points.
I'm so tired of that man. Yeah. So tired of him.
Cool. I think in saying that, he was trying to G up the team. Mm. Yeah. I don't think he really, let's be real. There's no way he thought, that we were going Stamford Bridge to win. There isn't. But he had to believe,
yeah.
And he wanted the players to believe as well. What I will say is those first 20 minutes told me they didn't believe, because we were getting flamed, torched, whatever word you want to use, that is what was happening. We could have been 4-0 down within 20 minutes. We could have been 4-0 down within 20 minutes. Neve Charles had that chance, you remember?
Mm.
We could have easily been 4-0 down. There's another chance Lauren James had.
How many times did Hannah Blundell get done?
She was getting... she was getting flamed. To be honest, she's been getting cooked in a lot of games this season. But that day, she was bro, she's having nightmares 10,000% about that game. That's why she started tweeting about American football after the match. You know when you're trying to clear your head? She was defo. Trust me, I get it. Because me too, I'm having nightmares, let alone you that was there. But I will say that, I don't really know what she could have done specifically, because I don't know why we opted to do a high line when I feel like one of the main components of a team doing a high line is if they have people in the back line that their recovery pace is through the roof. Mm-hmm. Like, we look at it with a lot of teams, Chelsea can do a high line, when Jess Carter's playing. There's no one in our back line that I'll say, it's calm, let's do a back line, because you've got...
Yeah, and it's not even the pace, it's also then, Jess Carter, she's a 1v1 specialist.
This is what I'm
saying. So not only will she get there, you're probably not going to beat her 1v1 anyway.
And the person who also was really good at that this weekend was Ashley Lawrence. She was... Listen...
That recovery challenge to get back Ella in. Two? Yeah, the one on Ella 2. She just put the toe in there.
Listen, so... For those that don't know, Hayley Ladd scored just before halftime, and it was from great work by Jace. I thought she was dead. Yeah. I was even getting annoyed. And half of it is not because of her, half of it is because of the.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time.
For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
The positions in which he was receiving the ball did not make any sense, by the way. But she had to receive the ball there because she was standing in the middle and she had three Chelsea players next to her, so she had to pull off to the wing.
But that's where she plays her best football.
Facts. But the problem is, yeah, we couldn't even progress the ball to the wing. So then she had to drop into midfield, yeah, to get the ball. There's no scenario in which I want Jace picking up the ball in midfield, yeah, because you're giving your... First of all, it's so congested. It was so congested against Chelsea that there wasn't the space for that. The moment we started actually playing the balls into the channel and giving her something to run onto, that's when we started seeing her come alive. She could pull off into the wing and then she could actually take on her player. I feel like after the goal happened, she started cooking Neve Charles. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's like she didn't realise the first 25, 30 minutes, yeah,
it was allowed.
That jaw-wise, there's nobody here in this team, yeah, that if you slap it on them properly, there's no one here that can take it. And it's like she was playing passive, in my opinion. And once she got that, I'm not going to call it an assist, but once she did that for the goal creation for the first one, it's like she realised, wow, I've got the beating of you. And she took that, not only for the last couple of minutes of the first
half,
the first 10 minutes of the second half, she was cooking Neve Charles, yeah?
Yeah.
And it was funny because Neve Charles, we were saying the other time, that Neve Charles has had a good season, yeah? And she had a very good first 30 minutes. Mm. The moment Jay started cooking her, I look and I was thinking, this is the Neve I recognize. Yeah, this is the Neve I'm familiar with, man. Like, but it was just frustrating because if we talk about it now, start of the second half, we started like applying pressure. I was like, nah, these lot got a kick up the backside, yeah? And they've realised there's no time to be scared because we're losing anyway. We've got nothing to lose at this point. We, as it stands, we lost. So at this point, yeah, just go for it. We were working some good opportunities. Ella Toon, I thought she should have pulled the trigger faster. Obviously, for those watching on TV, like, I couldn't see how the challenge came in from where I was sat. But I was still thinking, you're running into the box here, and I don't know how much time you think you're going to get. Like, that's why I think she should have pulled the trigger quicker. But I feel like it was a well-worked opportunity. I feel like we had a couple other well-worked opportunities. Yeah. Hayley Ladd had a chance.
All she had to do was lift it over the keeper.
There's that one, was it the same one that, who was it? I can't remember. They were hesitating, and the chance was gone.
This is what I mean, though. Like,
it's composure in front of goal. It's decision making. It's composure in front of
goal, yeah. But who in the team, like, I think Melvin Mallard is our best finisher in the team, yeah? And I feel like Nikita Paris this season has probably been one of our better finishers as well. And I feel like if those chances would have fallen to her, I would have had more confidence that she would have put one in the net. When I look at that forward line in general, there's a lot of good components in the team. But when you look at it for what it is, there was four goals in that starting lineup. As in, there was four goals in that starting front three. Leah Galton has not scored since the first game of the season against Arsenal.
And that's the thing. Like, we can talk about forward players and how they contribute to the play, but at the end of the day, your job is to score. Your job is to score goals, and Nikita Paris has five, and she was on the bench.
There's only a certain amount of like saying, oh, it's this, that, and that. It's like, you can't excuse four goals. You just can't.
This is what I'm saying. And I also think, though, that Mark Skinner had to take some responsibility for two things. One, the high line, which was literally, bro.
Death.
Like, death by high line is what we saw. And the other thing he has to take responsibility for is the fact that he is so hell-bent on certain players in that starting 11.
He has his favourites.
And I would get the favourites thing, yeah, if we were serial winners. Trust me. Like, there's certain things that give you the right
You can always rely on.
There's certain things that give you the right to be stubborn. This team hasn't won anything. So if we get the opportunity to like bring someone in, which we have, we've bought midfielders since, and they all just come off the bench. He was talking after the game, yeah. I think someone asked him about Miyazawa. And I was like, like she would have been good because she doesn't lose the ball. Ball retention is good. But then I started thinking, yeah, but who would he have played her head of? Who would he, not who would she have played it, who would he have played her head of? Because from what we've seen in the past, when he's played her, he's put Hayley Ladd on the bench. And is that to, is that for you to tell me, yeah, that we would have taken Katie Zellum as the lone DM to Stamford Bridge? Like, this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There's no point him mentioning names because what would you have done with them?
No, it's true. And then, and the thing is, I think what we're seeing with United, like, yes, you're invested. Like, you're spending more money than any other team. But you're also kind of looking at players like Boarissa, and you're kind of like...
Justice for Boarissa.
Yeah, man. Yeah, because you look and think she would have made a difference in that game.
He wouldn't have played her.
But if she was on the pitch, she would have made a difference.
Yep.
But you're looking and thinking, you've actually got solutions to some of your problems, yep, but they don't play and then they end up leaving.
Lisa Nelson came on yesterday, yeah? And she came on at a point that was difficult anyway, because I think either they had just gone 3-1 or, like, so I'm not really sure what his intention was, or, like, they were pushing to get that third. And she did some nice stuff yesterday. My issue, though, was that he took off Ella Toon for her. No, he took off Ella Toon for her. And I was just like, that's not the right move. I see Lisa Nelson as an 8. And I see Ella Toon
and she can supply the balls into.
Like, she's really good at through balls. And I feel like sometimes a lot of the players that we have in the team are misprofiled. And I feel like that's a big problem for United in general in terms of recruitment. Because, yeah, we're buying players. But does he know what to do with the players that we're buying?
Yeah. I also think he needs to watch his mouth personally. Because
he talks too much. And yeah, because
I feel like when you're publicly calling out your players... And you're like, oh, but they're not showing me what I want to do in training. But like with Nelson, but yeah. You're just like, but you only bring her on in big games. Like, why?
Does not make sense.
Yeah, like, why don't you play in the small?
You didn't play me against Newcastle, women.
Yeah,
but like, you put me in against PSG.
Yeah, and then you're like, what do you expect? Man. Like, and I'm just thinking, he's not helping himself at all.
But if I ask you, do you think his job is in danger?
I'm praying every
day.
No,
you're not praying.
Word to Brianna. I'm starting to light my candle. Okay,
moving prayers. Realistically, like I said, like, whether he would do it. Do you think his job is in danger?
At first, I said no, yeah. Purely because United as a club, yeah, they don't care that much. They care to an extent. But if we don't drop below fourth, realistically, they'll just say to themselves, yeah, we're competing with people that have won stuff. Like, so that's the reason why we're not doing X, Y, Z. But now I think that, like, if you look at it stats-wise, if anyone looks at it, you have to think, we've won 5 games in 11 league games. 5.
It's the same number.
It's the same. Ooh. We have the same number of points as Spurs, and we have the same number of points here as Liverpool. This is no disrespect, yeah?
The drop-off is a lot.
Absolutely brazy, bro. Last season, someone put up, after 11 games, we had 28 points last season. We had 28 points.
Nice,
We'd won nine out of 11 games. We won 5, yeah? And you can't even say it's because we've lost to Chelsea 20 times. We've dropped points, yeah? We've lost to Liverpool. We drew to Brighton. We drew to Leicester. Come on, man. And I think at a certain point, yeah, you start thinking, if I'm pumping money into this, which they are, because United have spent.
Mm.
If I'm pumping money into this, what am I getting from it? And not, this is not to say in by means of like profit or something like that, because United made profit the year before last. More so because, like, what am I getting from it in terms of like tangible stuff? Because all the other teams are winning trophies. Like, at least give me something.
Where's the brand?
At least give me something. A young flipping Conti Cup. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're not asking for much here. A young Conti Cup. So, fingers crossed. The thing is this. He can't salvage this season. The season is done. He knows it as well, yeah. But he has to keep saying...
He keeps telling us, everyone's going to drop points. You think Chelsea are dropping 10
no,
points?
No, what's killing me, yeah? He said there's more... He was like, there's more points to be dropped. Yeah, from us. I'm not talking about there's points to be dropped, yeah.
But that's why I feel like he's so unlikable as a character. Because he comes across really disingenuous. And I just think that doesn't help you when it comes to your job, because at the end of the day, you now see that there are fans there and they no longer believe in the project under him. And this is the big issue that he now has, because mm-hmm. now people are looking at you sideways thinking, no, but I know that the investment that we have made and that the people that we have on paper should be doing better. Before, yeah. when you think last season, it was kind of like a surprise and, you know, people were overperforming. They were relying on individual talent. But now the expectation is there. Yeah, man. On attacks. But yeah, I don't know. I look at him and think, maybe if you weren't so disingenuous, like publicly, I don't know what he's like behind the scenes.
Listen, we lost bare games under Casey. Don't mm-hmm. ever be deceived. We mm-hmm. lost games under Casey, yeah, but we bought in. We as fans and them as players had bought in to call.
Yeah, we're doing this. This kind of
and don't forget, yeah, we were the squad Casey had was nowhere near the level of investment that this squad has had.
Mm.
Nowhere near. There's players that were in that squad that finished fourth under Casey that are playing for championship teams that are low right now. Do you see what I mean? Like, it's not... A lot of them were overperforming even then.
Mm.
So, there is a part that players have to do, but there's a part that, you know, coaching and stuff have to do to get your players to the point where they can overperform.
Mm.
Like, it's people act like overperformance is rare. No, a couple of the players are supposed to be overperforming. That is exactly. how it works.
That's the individual that's how it works. That carries you in.
If everyone just stayed at the level that they could, like, that's their base level, that's not how it's done. Mm. A couple of players have to overperform. And right now, no one's doing that. I will say, to finish on Man United, yeah, Jade Rivière can at least hold her head high a little bit, because I thought she had a very decent performance.
And yeah, because like, to be fair, Guru Wrighton was quiet. And she was, Guru is a serious player. She had her in player. Hell. Yeah.
Blundell was in her own hell. like, she had Guru Wrighton in hell. Everything was... They knew not to come to that side.
Everything was going on the other side. Yeah.
And that also, I saw at the end, there was a point, yeah, like 15 minutes left. Her and Lauren James got into a duel. And Jade held her own to the point that Lauren James jumped on her back. Yeah, she jumped on her back. Yeah, and then they started laughing and then they high five. You know what it is, like, machine for machine. Let's both do it.
Mm.
But yeah, God help that team and just put the team in rice. That's my closing message on United. let's move on to a thriller, a goal thriller that we had, a goal fest. West Ham versus Spurs. Lauren, you were there. You were braving the cold storm, Aisha.
That wind. Kudos to them players. Everyone probably has seen the clip now of Christian Mears taking that corner.
Yep.
The wind was bad. It was bad.
I have to ask you, first of all, about a special player. Very special player, Grace Clinton. What a player, first of all. Tell me your thoughts.
I mean, she's unbelievable. I think in terms of the talent, like when we talk about the talent, like young English talent in the league, like Aki Jones, your Jess Parks, Grace is there, man. Mm-hmm. She's right there. I think you saw the best of her, like in that game. Like she's just, she can take a game and she can win a game by herself.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, I feel like at the beginning of the season, I was a bit like, when we signed her. And that had nothing to do with her talent. It was very much like a, like, no offense, Marvel, when you listen, I don't want to be an Everton. Like, I don't want to be a club that takes on the top players' clubs and develops them and then you send them back.
Mm.
Because one, how do you then replace them?
Yeah.
And then two, how do you ever, like, close that gap if, like, you're just making the other team stronger? So I don't know, it's hard because you don't want to fall in love with a lone player, but she's so good.
It's too late.
Like, yeah, like, no, I was stood there, yeah, the terraces. I must have said, like, she's so good. And like, people were just like, yeah, like, she's so good. And yeah, I don't know. I just feel like for my own mental health, like, I just need Spurs, whether it's British record, WSL record, whatever it costs, put the offer in. Like, if I'm United, I'm not selling her. Like, I'm not selling her because she's the future.
Boy.
But put the offer in
mm-hmm.
please, and let somebody tell me that it was rejected, but I need us to try because
that's a player.
Yeah, like, serious. But to be fair, credit to Robert as well. I think
he's created an environment for her to thrive. Yeah. And I think he said it in his post-match interview, he won't tell her tactically, this is like, this is what you need to do, like just go and play in that position and have the freedom. And I think she's playing with a lot of freedom. Mm-hmm. But yeah, every time like she plays, I'm like, oh, it's one game less until she has to go back. But yeah, I don't know, like I look and think, if Mark Skinner's still there, then I have hope in it.
That's why he needs to go
before. Yeah. So I have hope, because the way that Mark's we're going, we're level on points. We could finish above you.
Chill. Bake off, man. Too much. But, yes, nah.
I'm real.
I completely agree. She often reminds me of Ella Toon under Casey Stoney. Like in that last season where it's like she's picking up space in the pocket. Mm-hmm. She's able to drive at people. She's making last, what's it called? Late runs into the box. And I think she's really like, her skills have really been honed this season, which is what United wanted out of the loan. And she's brought a lot of that to Spurs in the sense that her link-up skills are fantastic. Mm. But I also think that whilst I'm comparing her to Ella Toon under Casey Stoney, she has what Ella doesn't have, which is the physical presence as well.
Mm-hmm.
Super physical player. She wins a lot of her duels, both physically and through speed, through trickery.
They always say in training that they can't get the ball off her. Like, she's genuinely that good. And I think when you've got a protector, I think she's somebody that it doesn't, if you're under pressure, you can just slip the ball into her, because mm-hmm. the amount of times where you think, oh God, she just dribbles out of wherever she is and she's still got the ball, they can't push. Or if they push her off the ball, like 9 times out of 10, it's a foul.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, yeah, I mean, she's so good.
The link up with Bizet as well.
And, yeah, and they're best friends in it. Let's put an offer in. Like, they're really good friends.
I'm not gonna lie, they link up really well.
Yeah, and really I think they're like best mates off the pitch. So, yeah, you know.
We need to put an end to that still.
But I just want to say, like, I feel like we are, what was really nice yesterday as well was looking at our goal scorers outside mm-hmm. of Grace. Like, Jess Naz is a young player. Celine is a young player. I think we're also showing, even a couple of the signings that we made, Charlie Grant, Matilda Vinver, we're showing that we can be a club where you can come, we're a project where it looks like we're on an upwards trajectory and we're a good place to be, like if you're a young player. So please, Grace. But yeah, I don't know. It's, she's just... Having that type of player in your team where you just...
It's a game changer.
Yeah, because you just think, well, you just give her the ball and she'll do something.
I want to ask you, though, two questions. First question, should the third goal have stood?
No, but the shot was so good, she wouldn't have saved it anyway. Like, but, I hear it. I hear it. But the shot was so good, she wouldn't have.
Yeah,
she
I think it went into the corner. She wouldn't have saved it.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't have stood. Mm. But we'll take the goal.
I was there in the stands like, don't you dare disallow it, man. Look how good that goal is. But
we'll take it
because
the price of the bricks going up. And, and also, I have to ask you. You were leading a substantial lead, yeah? And you said, nah, we're not really feeling to lead anymore. Let's let them back in the game. When it hit 3-2, first of all, what were your thoughts?
Do you know what? My first thought was, I can't believe we're missing Amy Turner on the pitch. Because that's what changed it. To be honest, we have injury problems.
I told you to put some respect on Amy Turner's name.
Let me finish my sentence. Thank you. We have injury problems. Mm-hmm. We've only got 2 fit centre-backs. Yeah. And to be fair, Amy was injured last week, so I think she wouldn't have been able to do 90 minutes. Yeah. But as soon as she went off, like, Evelina's just not a centre-back.
Yeah.
So it just, we lost stability. Like, when you've got someone playing in that position where they don't sense danger in the same way as an Amy Turner does. And I think that's just what happened. Like, we just got really sloppy. But I think last week in the FA Cup, like, we nearly went out to Sheffield. And again, it was sloppy defending. And like, I think at the moment we're a bit hands tied behind our back because we don't, like, Luana Buller's injured. So what what can we really do? But yeah, I look at the defensive performance, like, we were shambolic. Like, I was there like, how can we be playing this well and almost throw it away? Like, thank goodness that just got the fourth goal. But I look at the defensive performance and I know that we play Bunny next week. And, you know, I'd like to take credit that we're her original hat-trick stat-padding team. So, yeah, that concerns me. Mm-hmm. I hope that Amy gets through the week, because she's going to need to be able to do 90 minutes. Yeah.
Big up Amy Turner.
Yeah,
I always drop some shout outs for her. You realize.
Like, listen, I'm heavily critical of her, but yeah, her going off. Okay, thank you. Her going off. I think if she was able to do the whole match, West Ham don't get back into the game.
I agree. Because one thing I'll say with Amy Turner as well, physically, she might not be able to stop the person, but she's gonna know what they're about to do. She anticipates danger well. Mm. Whether she's gonna stop that person physically, I can't tell you. That's the truth. If it's a foot race, forget it. She's gonna know that person's gonna anticipate it. But big up Spurs. I like what I've seen from Spurs this season. I really do. I really do.
I just like watching us yesterday, like knocking the ball around, and I just thought, I used to pray for times like this, man. Yeah. And the fact that we were playing, obviously, West Ham under Rianne, and I just looked and I just thought, the transformation. Like, guys, this time last year I sat here and we were going through our 9 league loss in a row streak. Like I was rock bottom. I started thinking, what are we going to do with Beth England if we're in the championship? All of these things in my mind I was thinking. And to think that we're level on points with United. To be fair, Liverpool having a great season as well. But it's just, I have a team. Like, we have a team and a project as Spurs fans, I think, that we can actually believe in. Like, we see a manager that gets it. Mm-hmm. Like, I personally don't want to win all games 4-3. So I think we need to fix that defensively. Mm-hmm. But again, it's just like watching a team that want to play football, that want to attack. Yeah, it's just good times. And we're investing. Finally, the club are actually saying, let's build a foundation. Like players like Shalina Zdorsky and Rhea Percival. It's sad to see those players go, but like it also means that we're ready for the next cycle and like raising the level of the squad. So yeah, no, it's good times, man. Good times.
Thanks, Lauren. That concludes our agenda, but we do have some listeners' questions. Some of the questions that got asked, we've pretty much answered in the pod. So, like, for example, Finley said, how important is Grace Clinton to Spurs and how vital is it that they do everything to keep her at the club?
Record bid. That's two words.
You heard that, Finley. We need it. Lauren said Spurs need to do record bid. someone said... Ooh. Someone said, we know Lauren James is probably going to be the best player in the league now or soon. Why haven't we seen the England team give her the keys?
PR. Sorry.
Don't be sorry. Yeah. Don't be sorry. Yeah, I'm not.
I'm trying to think of like a... Yeah.
Sorry, it's, needs it, better
PR. I think it's tricky, because... I was saying this with someone the other day, I feel like women's sports in general, not just football, women's sports in general, they find it hard to push multiple people, like to promote multiple people through the media. And I feel like where it is for England is that there's a couple players in that team that are like names, and they just decided media, a lot of the media have decided that those are the ones that are easy to push because they're already established within like the space, basically. And that's not to say some of the people being pushed don't deserve it, but I also think we could do a better effort in general to spread it out, especially when it's someone as deserving as like a Lauren James, for example.
Basically, unfortunately for her, it's because of the batch that I had before with the Euros and everything, she needs to, unfortunately, absolutely move madder than she already is in order to just kind of even just kind of peek in there. And It sucks, but that's just, even though it's very clear the talent and the star level that she's eventually going to be, it should be now, but it won't be until I don't know, something mental happens.
Someone also asked, we've seen how teams play against United with the high press, etc. What can United do to mitigate that, basically?
Invest in the defense and a CDM.
Okay.
Like
straight to the point.
I agree. Well, when you look at like teams like Arsenal, like your Leovoltis or your Barcelonas, and they've got people like Kira Walsh, Patry in there, even Bon Mati, they have, when you've got technical ball players who are really intelligent, but also physically they can stand up, it makes a difference. And United just don't have those qualities within, I was going to say in the mid, like within one player.
I don't think United have it in the spine.
Mm. Yeah.
I feel like they need at least one player that has both, yeah, in the spine. And I wouldn't say that that's what they have.
Until then, stop being stupid with the line.
Boy. Mm. We have another question. Hold on, let me see, because I'm trying to pick properly, because it's the last question that we're going to do. Cool.
I don't have COVID.
Thank you for letting us.
How is Sam Kerr's absence going to affect Chelsea? Who should be the striker? Who should play strike for Chelsea? I mixed two questions together. That was a mixture of two questions.
I don't know about the striker one, but I know what they're going to feel. I think you mentioned earlier, the bigger game, the City and Arsenal game, is where you're going to see the level at which it's going to be a situation.
Yeah.
Because obviously we all know quality is there, Chelsea. They've got all these people in abundance.
Pretty much everyone else. Yeah.
But it's going to be those when it's tight.
Yeah.
And it's like, Sam's
a big moment player, and I think we saw yesterday that Lauren James is one of those as well, mm-hmm. and she can deliver, but I think they're gonna need another one. In terms of who I think should play there, I actually think Mia Fischel had a good game.
So did I. Like, the time she was on.
Yeah, like, I think the goals will come with her, but in terms of her actual contribution to the team, like, based on when she was first getting her initial minutes when she started, I think she's come on. And the more she plays with the likes of Guru Wrighton, who's also injured for ages, the more she plays in that team, the better her link-up will be. But I think you can already see the improvement since she started. So I'm a firm believer is that nine should be nines. Yeah. I don't think we need to dress up tens as nines. Mm-hmm. Lauren James is most effective when she can take the free roll. So you've got a nine, so you bought her, so play her.
Completely agree. Guys, thank you very much for tuning in to this episode. We have been Gold Diggers Podcast Women's Football episodes. As we said in the beginning, we're going to be doing these a lot more frequently. So thank you once again. And as usual, make sure to follow our panelists, first of all, at
Lauren at Lauren Coys.
Tiwa _ Lestrange.
And Moya at Moya's Laboratory. And follow our Gold Diggers page at Gold Diggers UK on X, Gold Diggers UK _ on Instagram, and Gold Diggers UK on LinkedIn.
And TikTok, actually.
And TikTok. Yeah. Everything. We're everywhere. We're everywhere. Lock in. Thank you once again. Done.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for ways to win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.